You all right over there? Is that a yes or a no?
I'm not okay. Like, at all. At all.
Not at all, huh?
No. I am not okay. I'm gonna have to go to bed on this thing. Wow.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my princess of the stars, Joe.
Oh, that's so lovely.
Yeah, right? You know what we're doing today?
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is it the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review a film unless you know what the worst is. And it's September, and we are celebrating National Cat Month by watching some low-rated cat flicks for the month. And because last month we did National Dog Month movies, we're doing dogs versus cats, and we're on to cat movies. This week we are talking about a movie with the tagline, "Come see what the cat dragged in." We are talking about 1992's Hong Kong film, The Cat. Or Lo Mao, a.k.a. 1,000 Years Cat.
What? That's what it says?
Yeah, 1,000 Year Cat.
A 1,000 Year Cat.
1,000 Years Cat.
1,000 Years Cat?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so this movie has a 6.5 on IMDb from 834 reviewers, which is a change for us because it's highly rated, but I think there's a reason. That reason may be because the director, I'm probably going to butcher this. I'm going to try. Don't look. I'm going to get this.
Okay. I was going to try and help, but okay. I'll stay out of it.
Ngai Chow Olam, who directed the cult favorite movie, Ricky O.
We love Ricky
O. The story of Ricky, directed this movie.
No, we love Ricky O.
This, Joe, are you ready for this?
I don't think I'm ready for anything, Scotty.
This, shockingly, is the fourth film in a six-film series.
What? Wait, you said six films, and this is number four?
Yeah.
Wait, so we were supposed to watch ones before this?
No.
To make it make sense?
I'm going
to
explain that right now for you. All of those movies star the same character of Wisely.
He's the cop. Or something.
No, he's not.
Who is he?
Or sometimes Wesley, a character once played by Chow Yun-Fat.
What?
In the first film in the series, he played him.
Oh my god. Well, is he a cop or not? I'm trying to figure out who the character is.
Well, let me finish this and then we'll talk about it because we'll talk about the movie a little bit. But that movie was called The Seventh Curse. It was followed by The Legend of Wisely, Bury Me High, The Wesley's Mysterious Films. Those are the movie titles of those all those movies. The author of all the books these movies are based on is Nai Kuang. He makes a cameo as the dog owner in this movie. So the author of the book series that this is based on plays the dog owner.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so there's a cat versus dog fight film. It took 6 months to film.
Okay, I don't understand because they literally just used cheap effects.
Okay, so I'll explain it. The first special effects director was fired for animal endangerment after only a few days on the set.
I freaking knew it.
Yeah. So they brought in an up-and-coming effects director Shinji Hayaguchi, which you know as the director of Shin Godzilla. He was an up-and-comer at the time, and they asked him to come in. He replaced that guy and only had a little bit of time to finish the film or the sequence. That's all he did was the sequence.
Oh, my God.
Walked in the last minute and did rushed effects to finish the sequence.
Yeah, you can tell they're rushed.
Yeah, Toshio Miyake, a special effects designer who worked on the Gamera Garden of the Universe, Godzilla Final Wars, and Shin Godzilla, also worked on this film doing the effects.
Okay.
Oddly enough, to receive a financial backing from Japan, an alternate movie was also filmed alongside this movie, and that movie is called Beast Wars: Nine Lives.
Did we see that?
No, it's literally the same movie, but a different director came in, Mio Hani, that it was rewritten, re-edited, redubbed, and recasted the lead for a Japanese actor so it could be released in Japan.
I see.
So there's two versions of this film.
I mean, what's the reasoning? They couldn't release a Chinese made movie in Japan?
I guess not. And then they needed money, so they got him. They got money from Japan and they refilmed this movie, which is even crazier. And I heard that movie's the lesser version.
Well, what are you saying? Lesser? As in less crazy?
No, just not as good.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We're talking about the cat. Now, you already asked me the question, who is Wisely?
Yeah, Wisely.
The main character of this movie?
He's the main character of the movie that has a ridiculous house that is just filled with couch cushions on the floor and wall-to-wall-to-wall books and booze.
Booze and books. This is the most obscene house of books and alcohol I have ever seen in my life. This is what I imagine a hoarder's the comic book collection would look like. I mean, there is just books. At one point, I thought it was like a design of the furniture was made out of something that looked like books. But then I realized, no, it's really books everywhere.
Yeah. Now, I don't know why they made that decision. Was it just because they wanted to make the set only one room and block out any evidence that they were filming in a mansion? Because on the outside, it's a mansion. The guy has the best view of all time. It's like the view of the mountains. He's got a pool.
I don't remember any view, actually. I just remember a wall and a green lit pool.
No, he had a beautiful view. It was amazing. But
I really don't remember that view.
Yeah, I was staring at it. But I don't understand, like, I just want to know, what was the reasoning behind the books? I mean, when we say books, there's literal, like, thousands and thousands of books just stacked up like wallpaper.
It's just everywhere.
It's crazy.
And then every single other thing has alcohol on it.
I mean, this guy has a whole entire wall just filled of like just unopened bottles of alcohol.
There's so much alcohol that he has clay pots made with more alcohol being like, or was it fermented? Is that what it's like rice wine, right?
Yeah, so
it's
like I guess
it's sake-esque, right?
I guess.
I know that's not exactly what it is, but something being kept in the pots and they're cracking it over and it's like old alcohol. There's so much alcohol in this movie that they actually poured into an ashtray and they set it on fire.
It's mind-boggling.
And there's cigarettes everywhere. There's cigarettes everywhere.
Yeah, I mean.
So he's supposed to be a novelist.
Okay, he's a novelist and not.
Why is he investigating crime for the cops?
Yeah. Okay, can we just talk about the plot first so we can. Because I have so many.
Can we talk about the plot?
No, we can't.
I have never witnessed something this convoluted and insane in a long time.
I don't even know how to talk about this.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, we can definitely try, and I'm going to do my best because we stopped it at one point, and I'm like, I'm going to have a hard time remembering everything I just witnessed, but I'm going to try here. The movie starts off, as I recall, with a guy in his bedroom, and this guy hears what sounds like our next door neighbor bashing on the walls.
Yeah. Right?
And he's driving him crazy, and it's the middle of the night, and so he finally can't take it anymore, and he goes upstairs to meet the neighbors. And when he gets up to the floor above him, there is a gate across the door locked.
And which is weird in itself, because yes. No other door has that.
Exactly. He has brought a broom with him, and he bashes through, and he rings the doorbell crazy-like, until an old man opens it and is peeking around the door. And then he keeps hitting the door saying, "Hey, stop with all the banging. It's the middle of the night. I can't sleep." And he keeps hitting the door until it finally opens all the way, and he sees a cat, a black cat, just sitting on the floor, right? And then all of a sudden, a woman, a younger girl maybe, in a black dress and black hair, walks up and grabs the cat, and we just have to stare at her.
Oh, she's staring. She's staring at the guy.
She's staring. The cat's staring. The old man's staring.
It's bonkers.
This guy's staring.
Right
away.
Everybody's
staring at each other.
My first thought of this scene was, oh, I got the movie figured out. It's witchcraft.
Yeah, you would think.
Well, though, okay.
With cats, you think that there's going to be witchcraft.
I think so. And also, might I say, I don't have the greatest luck with cats. We've already discussed this. But I will say that this cat is absolutely gorgeous. It's all black.
When we say this cat in this shot, because it's a different cat.
They use
or
different,
it's a puppet.
Yeah, different cats later on. But this particular cat is long-haired and jet black and has the most beautiful green eyes, and it is a beautiful cat.
Yes.
So we have this scene, and you know the guy's telling him, shut up, you're making too much noise. And
well, he stops instantly when he sees the woman.
He sees the woman, and he's like, ooh. But then the old man puts his hand up, and he sees that there's blood on the old man's hand.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, okay. And then he dips. He goes back to his house. And
the banging starts right off again. They're like, we're going to stop. I'm sorry we woke you up. And then when he goes back downstairs and goes back to bed, we hear the not banging again.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. This never comes back. What are they
this
doing?
This guy disappears after another scene. So, yeah, he, what happens is in the morning, he goes downstairs to go to work and he's tired. And he sees that the old man is packing up a moving truck and they're moving. And he's like, are you moving? What's going on? What was all the banging up there? And he's like, doesn't answer, but he jumps into the moving truck, the old man, and it starts driving away. When it starts driving away, he sees the girl in the same exact outfit sitting there staring at him again, petting the cat exactly the way it was done a minute ago in the house.
Right. So I thought this guy here, he was going to be our main character.
You would think.
You know? But the movie completely cut away from him. And we see him telling his novelist friend after this, right?
No. He goes upstairs and investigates.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
He goes and breaks in, basically. The door's wide open. He opens it up. He goes inside the house to see what they were doing. Why was it blood on his hand? Why they're running out of there? And what would they bang you on?
Right.
And he finds a pile of newspapers covered in blood. And so what any human being would do
would be touch it.
He touches it. He opens it up until he finds what looks like brains, but it's intestines. So he calls the cops. The cops get there. And from Hong Kong and stuff, it has a certain kind of humor where you don't know how to take the movie. And because this guy says, is it okay? Is it human? Like, is there a murder? And the guy, the cop that he asked this, just laughs and goes, we'll find out.
I mean, everything seems funny to them.
Yeah. Like, and they go, hey, it's cat intestines. It's not human. And the cops all laugh at this guy, and the cop smacks this guy in the head.
I'm baffled by, okay, first of all, can I just say this again? None of this comes back. We don't know what the banging was. We don't know why there's cat intestines in
we
there.
We do.
Why?
We're told.
Did I miss something?
I mean, there's did so I much blink? Happening in the conversations in this movie where, like, nothing made sense that we were just like, what? But they do explain it, and it is the most convolutedly bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life.
I probably just left my body because I just couldn't believe what was going on in this movie.
Well, we were already shocked because the cops slapped him in the head, and they're all laughing at him. I'm like, there are cat guts and newspapers on the floor, and these people ran out the night after he banged on the door.
Yeah, and it's just so normal to see cat guts just laying about.
Yeah, and it turns out the reason that the cops slapped him is they're all friends. So it turns out there's three friends. It's this guy who is living in this apartment. Don't know who he is. Then we have a cop who's the lead detective, I guess. And we have the novelist, Wisely.
Yeah, Wisely.
And his girlfriend slash maybe wife, not really sure.
I don't think they're married. But I will say that I was shocked to learn that this movie became Wisely's movie and not the main guy that, you know, started out the film.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is weird. But I will say that from this point on, I'm still in it. I think witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft. And there's a theme of drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, playing with guns, and eating crabs. from this point on, there's a weird theme of this.
Can we talk about these people? They eat crabs for dinner, and then they eat lobster for breakfast.
For breakfast. They're always eating crabs.
Oh, God.
And
crustaceans.
And also, the one friend doesn't seem to know how to do any of this. And no. the girlfriend has to show them. It's really strange. Wisely becomes obsessed with the case of what's going on and this weird tale, because the friend says, he automatically goes, you know, I think they were demons. All right. And this is a new theme now where the characters all just jumped. They all go, huh? And Wisely's like, you said there was a girl, huh? She was cute, huh? And then the girlfriend goes, ah, you always take up cases when there's a woman involved.
Yeah, but what case? Because he's a freaking novelist.
He's on the case now, Joe. He is a full detective
this
now.
This is the most baffling movie.
Oh my God. He says, you know, in a mythology, cats are aliens. And then they're like, huh. And from now on, they go, it's aliens. That's this Wisely character just goes, aliens.
Okay.
It's definitely, at first the guy just says, let's jump to conclusion, say demons. Then the other person goes, nah, aliens. Right. I think at this point, the detective character, who is the actual detective, goes and investigates. But we do see in the sewer, while they're talking about how aliens, we see a homeless man get taken over by the blob. But imagine if the blob had little hands, little white stick hands all over it. And we see it take over this guy and become him.
See, this is where I start to get lost, because
this is where you started.
Well, I mean, at least the beginning was like, okay, that's a little weird, but I'm still thinking witchcraft. Now we're involved in some blob from who knows where that's like a parasite, and it's invading this homeless guy to make him a zombie. So what happens next is even more baffling, and from now on, it gets worse. Because this homeless guy...
Well, yeah, we actually cut to a museum robbery.
Yeah, so the girl in the black dress and the old man that lived in the apartment with the cat are now in a museum.
No, you can't skip it, because I know you forgot about this already, because it was so friggin' funny. We were like, this whole sequence, we were like, holy shit, what are we watching? The girl and the cat is a cat burglar. I'm not even kidding. His little paw comes up and cuts a hole in glass to get what looks like a rock. It's like a...
It looks like a meteor, like a meteorite.
Kind of. It looks like one of those... What is that? Like a nut? You know, the seed?
Oh, like a pod. Yeah,
it's like... It's big and shriveled looking, but it's gray.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but it's on their glass case in a museum. The cat literally cuts it out, grabs it out, and... All of a sudden, when they're so happy, right? But this guard jumps out, and he's going to get them. And right before he gets them, the old man jumps out of the ceiling above him, wraps him up in a cape, and just has him stuffed in a bag.
The cape is a bag now, and he literally puts it over his shoulder like it weighs nothing, and he literally just throws it to his side and kicks it.
So we're to assume this is a museum, and the guard is dead. Okay, so
we're like, what the
cat
hell?
Has taken some sort of relic out of this glass case. Then we see the homeless guy peering through the window of the museum at them as this is happening, and his eyeballs just pop out of his head. Random.
And then he backs off of the window, and then a giant, I don't even know how to explain, it's like a giant crab-esque blob thing. It's the entire size of a car comes through the window and hits the wall. Now, two other security guards hear this madness, and they rush into the room, and they are engulfed in this blob creature. It seems to electrocute them while also grabbing them, and their bodies decompose and fall apart. It's fun practical effects.
If we were baffled in the first 10 minutes of this, it gets worse by the minute. Like, worse. Because now we're dealing with a zombie guy whose eyeballs just popped out, and yeah, we never gone. See he's him never again. Again.
Yeah.
Never see him again. What was the purpose of him? Who knows? He's just there. And then we have a big blob monster.
This is funny because the blob monster, while killing the guards, is supposed to be... We find out that this monster is trying to kill these three people. Right? That's its goal, right?
Wait, are you referring to the cat as a person?
Yes. Because they keep saying he's a knight.
Well, they call him the general.
The general. Some they tell him he's a holy knight later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they also call him the protector. She's the princess. He's the protector. And the old man's name is just Errol.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's some kind of knights. I have no idea. Well, instead of like attacking them
at this point,
I don't know how. After like attacking them and just giving up to kill the security guards, it allows them to just jump out the window. All three of them just jump out of a window.
Swan dive out of a window.
And then they're just fine, right?
We don't see them land, but yeah, I mean, they're fine. This is baffling. This movie, it was next level.
They start going, the one friend disappears from the movie. He's gone. The one that told him about this case, about the people tapping up on the above them. But the other two start going on the case. So you have the cop, because they get called, and he's trying to investigate it. And it's like, I feel like we actually see him telling the story in the past, and like every night he's writing the story and he's narrating that the movie is happening.
Yeah, so we know that he survives all this madness because he's writing the novel on it.
But every time he's writing the novel, it seems to be a scene after something that just happened. Because I'm going to get messed up. I don't know how to say this, but he finds out. Now, first off, we got to talk about this, because while he's trying to figure out the case, and he's saying that I'm hoping to find my lead of where they are, he's like, that's when his girlfriend comes home, and she has just played tennis, and she is sweating, and then they film her. Like, she is soaking wet, and they show every inch of her body dripping.
This is the most off... Okay, out of this whole weird movie, this movie is next level weird, okay? Next level. This is the strangest sequence I could imagine to put in a movie like this. Like, we're already baffled by whatever sorcery is going on in this movie with this cat who's finding this relic, by this old man, this chick... What? Okay, first of all, a zombie with his eyes popping out, all of this biz, and then they decide they want to do a scene with the glistening beads of sweat all over this girl's body. They pan all up and down her so we can get to see her nipples through her white shirt and everything, and our hero, whatever, wisely, just sticks his hand right up her shirt, and then he decides to throw her in the pool.
Only because they're stopped. Because he's eating lobster for breakfast.
This is breakfast.
And she's on his lap, and there's nothing that says sun, sweat, and lobster.
Nothing says sex more than that.
For real.
And he is only stopped because she's like, hey, men are more potent in the morning. That's what she says to him. But they're only stopped because his little TV, he has a little portable TV, and it shows a news report about the museum robbery. And on the news, the cop being interviewed says there were some security guards that were attacked. They're dead. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I already saw what they look like. They were obliterated. So I'm like, they're not just dead. And they're saying the burglars killed them. And I'm like, no person in their right mind would believe a human being was able to do what is done to these two security guards.
No.
But the next shot, he actually picks his wife, this girlfriend, up and throws her right in the pool. And then we have to watch her
bounce up and down out of the water with her titties soaking out.
Yeah.
Soaking wet. It was the stupidest scene. I'm like, why do we need this? It's so freaking random.
It's so weird.
Out of this movie of 100% random scenes, this one is the most random.
This whole movie is like that. Because the next scene is the detective and Wisely in the museum, and they walk in and there is like burn marks all over the walls. There is some kind of like soot, basically like stalactites.
But here's the thing. There's no fire. And like this,
they said that there's no fire.
Yes, but this blob monster thing,
it burned everything.
How?
Because it's like an acid. We see it eat everybody.
I mean, I guess so. Why didn't it eat the walls? I don't know.
Exactly. It makes no sense. You're asking too many questions. I'll tell you that.
Trust me. The questions are just flowing like diarrhea. Liquid hot magma diarrhea.
Honestly, this is one of the hardest movies we've done to talk about.
I mean, we're struggling here.
The only reason the guy even links this to the cat, and why even Wisely goes, you know what, it has to be them, I have no idea. But one guy just puts a suitcase on the floor and goes, cat hair.
Okay.
And they're like, it's got to be that cat.
But, okay, here's the best thing, is that Wisely figures out where the old man, the girl, and the cat actually are. They move to a different apartment. Now, how'd you figure this out? Because, you know, they're in the phone book.
He interviewed a guy that he says, I remember this old man with his finger up. And they show a guy doing a thumbs up, and he talks to him, and he goes, they live over here.
So it was the moving truck company.
That's what it was.
Yes, the moving truck company. The guy remembered where he took them. And so Wisely's like, oh, okay, yeah, let me hit him up for some info. So he went to the freaking place where they are now staying to get some answers.
What did they move?
I don't know.
Because they don't have, why would they have furniture?
They don't have any furniture. They're whatevers.
So what did they move?
I mean, some sorcery or witchcraft or demons, something's happening at this point.
He goes to the house, he finds it, and he finds they have just left the acorn thing on the counter, and he's staring at it.
The relic
thing that they got, which they call the octagon.
Yeah, it's not even remotely resembling an octagon. Yes, it's a blob of...
It looks like a little ship, like a shriveled ship.
It looks like a really big gray raisin.
Yes. I kept calling it the testicle the whole movie.
So he goes in this okay. apartment, and he sees it, and he's like, what the devil? And
the same time, they're outside, and the cat and her have a dance, like floating, flying dance off, where they just started going, yeah, woo-hoo-hoo, and then she just floats around the antennas.
This is what I'm telling you. At this point, I'm like, witchcraft.
Even her hair changed.
Yeah. So she's actually flying, just floating. And I'm like, what is going on? Okay, so I called it, right? This is witchcraft. But what is the reasoning? What are they doing? Like, why are they, like, just bouncing around to different apartments, and there's cat intestines involved and a freaking relic that looks like a ball sack? And what is going on? Like, why is there this big blob, and then the blob is like infiltrating a homeless man, and then the blob is coming through the windows
before you get too over.
I'm like, what the freaking hell is this? Like, what? I mean, all of this sounds bonkers. It sounds bonkers.
There's no way to make this sound any more sane.
Our eyeballs are watching this, and I'm just like, it's not getting through. I'm like, what is this? What is going on? We're 30 minutes into the movie at this point.
Yes. We actually looked. We actually looked. We're like, what?
I'm like, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
What?
You're right. I don't even know what's going on, but my favorite thing is, while they're dancing around on the rooftops, the cat meows and says, virtually, she goes, oh, someone's here? I don't think you're right, but let me go check. And he hears them coming, and he does the only thing any rational human being would do. He stands behind a sheer curtain in the moonlight. So, well, he's just standing there. You can see his whole body.
He fooled me because I didn't see him until he stepped out of the curtain.
Well, you actually looked down when he got behind the curtain, and I was laughing very hard.
Oh,
I was like,
boy, he's right there.
Yeah, he's just standing there in an open window with a light hitting him. And they don't see him at all. And they go, see, there's no one in here. And they're like, yeah, we're having a great time. Night, you know, protector and all this stuff. But then the cat meows again. And she says, where are you? I know you're in here. Come out. So the guy steps out. And the cat jumps in the air and karate chops him. And he's like, oh, my God. He freaks out. And then the old man comes from the windowsill behind him like Batman and just hits him. And he is knocked out. And while he's passing out, they say, don't hurt him. They go, kill. First off, the old man goes, kill him. And she says, no, we have no fight with the humans. We're okay. Leave him alive.
I'm like, what the hell is this? What she said was, we have no ill will towards mankind.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Okay. So now I'm like, all right, I don't know what's going on here. This is it's sorcery, no doubt, but it's not witchcraft. I have no idea.
No, I mean, there, you know, they're aliens because she's saying mankind, we have no fight with them.
It's at this point in the conversation where I still think Joe doesn't understand that they're not witches.
Like, and they're virtually calling each other aliens.
Okay. Well, we don't have any idea what the planet is called. They just keep saying our star.
Our star. And then they also say that the octagon, they have to get three octagons together to make a device that could kill the bad guy who's chasing them.
And now, the bad guy who's chasing them is what? The blob?
Yes. So the creature, they also are some kind of creature like this because they've taken these bodies. They multiple times say, we've taken these bodies over.
Okay, so that's not their natural form.
No, because they keep saying in this movie, and I know that we watched this in the actual language with subtitles, and we know the subtitles are completely off because they kept saying we have to decompose. And we're like, okay, that can't be right.
Like, what do you mean decompose?
They have to decompose so they can go back to their star.
But does that mean that they have to turn into some sparkle dust and then fly up to the cosmos?
Yes. I mean, yes, that's what actually happens in the movie. So, yeah. Okay, so he wakes up and they're gone. And then he's like, damn, I know that this happened because he has the cat scratches. And he says, that cat could fight. That cat's a good fighter. I wasn't expecting it. And we're like laughing. We're like, what? Like, oh, he's like, every time they had a subtitle, I was dying laughing because it's always like, this cat, you know, I have to really watch out for that cat in the future. He can really fight, you know.
This movie is called The Cat.
Yeah. So he does, again, the only thing a rational human being would do. He goes to the local dog owner, who is famous for only like having a house full of dogs. And he goes to get a dog to protect him against the cat.
This is amazing because there's no less than 15 dogs running up and down the stairs in this guy's house.
In slow motion, we have to see every dog walk down the stairs.
And he goes there and says, I need your most vicious dog.
Yeah, I need your most vicious dog to fight a cat.
To fight a cat? But why though? I mean, just bring a gun or something.
Yes, anything.
He doesn't even try to just like get rid of this cat.
Nothing.
Like, he doesn't. It's just a cat.
It's a cat
that we know of.
Well, I mean, the cat did dropkick him. So I mean,
yeah, the cat did.
Okay, so the introduction to the dog they get is one of my new favorite things I've seen in a movie in a while. That he goes, well, I have the best dog for you. He's resting right now, but he is no unlike any other dog in the world. He's the best dog. And he goes, he's right over there. And then all of a sudden, a giant dog bursts through, makes his entrance like the Kool-Aid man, and bursts through a wall.
But he didn't have any reason to be mad. No, he just needed an appearance, yes, you know?
He just wanted, hey, guys, this is my appearance.
Just to let you know that he's the most savage dog. Exactly. But I'll tell you, he's the goodest boy. Well, he just sits there, and he just lets him scratch his belly.
Well, he comes over, and he goes, say something nice to him. And he goes, you're the best boy. You're the best. You're the most powerful dog. And then he's like, okay, now you can go with him.
He's like, I'm taking this dog. So he takes the dog on this, like, almost like a stakeout, right? To find this freaking cat.
But they stake out the other octagon.
Yes. So he has some police officers with him, and they're all watching monitors, and they're all falling asleep. They're waiting for something to happen because they know that this is the second piece of the puzzle that these three people, or two people and a cat, need. Okay? So they're watching this thing. Finally, the cat shows up to take it. The cat burglar. And so they rush in, and the dog runs in and tries to take the cat out. And then the dog chases the cat into a junkyard, which is fucking amazing.
Well, the cat actually jumps out the window and leaves a perfect cat glass smash.
Oh my God, it was like Acme.
Yes.
It was amazing. The ears and everything made a perfect silhouette of the cat. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So the cat runs into a junkyard. This fight is probably one of the best fights I have seen in a movie.
Yeah, I think Jason versus Freddy, when Jason and Freddy finally meet up, imagine it with a cat and a dog.
Oh my God, this is happening in this junkyard, and the cat is fucking this dog up. I mean, scratching him,
well, the dog's doing biting good him, too.
And then the dog is, I mean, next level. One thing I was a little worried about this kind of thing, but it is so goofy when they show the puppets.
Oh, they have to do close-ups. We have multiple shots of different cat faces.
Oh, it's puppets.
We have puppets on the dog's back.
And it looked like claymation at one point.
Yeah, there was claymation multiple times.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was a very comical 10-minute scene here.
You have to give them credit for even doing this sequence.
Yeah. The cat scratches out the dog's neck, but not before he gets electrocuted.
Okay.
The cat lures him into an electrified fence or something.
He rips out wires, and then he has electrical, like, the outlet's going nuts, and he stands in front of it like a guy doing the bull, you know, with what's that called? I don't know. But he's doing the thing where you get the bull to trick to go for the cape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then he's, like, standing there and waiting for the dog to run at him. When he runs at him, he jumps out of the way, and he goes through the wall and gets electrocuted. We see this dog getting electrocuted, and then just falls. And the dog's fine. He gets back up.
Yep.
My favorite one, the moment of this, is the cat jumps on the dog's back, and he starts choking him with his chain.
Oh, my God.
And then the cat.
This fight was next level.
The dog gets the cat and bites him off, but then the cat grabs him and body slams the dog.
It's pretty epic. I was like, all right, still at this point, I'm like, okay, this thing's an alien.
It goes
like,
on and on in the sequence.
This thing, yeah, this fight was next level amazing. But then Wisely ends up finding them at the junkyard, and the dog is seriously hurt.
The dog is effed up.
Really effed up. So he takes him to the vet, and then you see...
No, Wesley actually fights the cat now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Wesley fights the cat.
Because the cat jumps at him, does another body kick, but he whips this thing around and hits the cat, and it makes a car fall over, and the cat's tail gets stuck in the car, the trunk of the car.
Which is amazing, because then he just gnaws off his own tail.
To get away.
And gets away.
But the tail's still wiggling.
Okay, so then this is the scene where they go to the freaking doctor, right? The vet, and thank God, you know, the dog, he's going to be okay. He's going to be fine. He's going to make it. But the pathologist comes out and says, here's the report on the cat's tail, and here's the cat's tail in this envelope.
Yeah.
He goes, this cat has been dead for centuries. Like, what?
He's like, I want that thing. Get out of here. Get it out of here.
What do you mean dead for centuries? That would mean that he actually had to have lived on this planet at some point, because they're aliens, right? So how would he know? How would he know that the cat's been dead for centuries? He's an alien.
No. Okay. So again, the cat, it was the body of a real cat, and it took it over.
Okay.
They don't have bodies, like.
Yes, but it's a dead for centuries.
I don't know why they have a centuries old cat.
Yes.
I have no idea.
How?
Did he say centuries or decades?
No, he said centuries.
It's so funny. I guess either way, it doesn't matter. But
and so
I don't know why this cat was this alien took over a dead cat of centuries. Like, where did it find its body?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Centuries old. That cat would have been disintegrated into dust.
And what we find out later on is the guy explains that he took the guts out to keep it fresh. The body of the cat needed to be intestines to be pulled out.
Okay, but a centuries old cat wouldn't have intestines.
Yeah, this is why I knew the.
I'm like, what is going on?
Whoever did the subtitles, like the subtitling for this movie, was completely off. Every sequence was like that. I was like, wait a minute, what?
I don't think that's what they were really saying.
I have no idea, but the guy even acted like, why do I want this? Okay, here's a text to speech of the subtitles in this scene in the movie.
Professor Yu, how was the lab report on that cat's tail?
On that cat's tail? Wisely, what are you up to? This is a university lab, why make fun of me with dead tail?
Dead cat's tail?
Yes. Bone analysis shows it died scores of years ago.
Alright, so I ran the audio of the movie through a translator, and this is the text-to-speech version of that.
Professor Yu, how are the test results for the cat?
I don't know what you guys are doing. This is the Big Mouth Laboratory, and you just threw me a whole dead cat tail.
A dead cat tail?
Yes, it's a fiber analysis with bones that have been dead for decades.
Ah, like why would... Okay, there's no such thing as a centuries old cat body.
Now, I believe what happens is that the detective and all the other cops go to a building. And they track down they think they're tracking down the alien thing. And they get in the building, and the alien tricks them and comes in, and all the cops have to fight the blob in this room, and they all get killed. And again, these practical effects are pretty decent, and they must have had no budget whatsoever. These cops get this ripped apart. I just think the blob, but not as cool in the blob remake anyways.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys tries to grab his friend out of the blob, and his face rips off and he's holding it, and then it starts eating his hands. The last cop, which I think is the friend, I don't really know who it is. They're all dressed like Yakuza. I have no
That's
idea
what
what's
I said.
Going
is
on
this
here.
The like what who are these like the mob?
I have no idea. I thought they were the cops,
but they did have like holsters and stuff like they were cops. I don't know.
Well, the last cop finally gets killed. His arms get ripped off and the alien goes inside of his body. And they actually have like a subtitle that said, our friend died. It was sad. And I was like, wait, what? What's going on? And then the next thing that happens is we see a guy shows up at a mob place to buy guns. And the mob guy is showing him every gun. We have to watch him load and put bullets into every gun. And this guy's looking for the best guns around. Now, I think this guy who's buying the guns is the guy who was just killed by the blob because it went inside of his mouth.
Yeah.
And so now it's taken over his body, mm-hmm. this guy. And he doesn't buy the guns. He takes all the guns and kills every mobster in this room, all the dealers. They're all shooting each other close up. I got to tell you, every stunt in this movie looks like someone died. Like, I was like, I don't feel know like how a lot they of people, did
yeah.
half of this stuff.
A lot of people got hurt.
Seriously dangerous looking stuff happening in the sequences. Yeah. And it looks really cool. And all I kept thinking in this movie was, man, can you imagine if this guy had the rights to, like, do it, you know, like a Hong Kong Terminator? Because, man, would this be a fun movie if this was just, like, the Terminator.
Yeah.
Because this stuff with the fights here with these guys and the stuff with the blob look really cool until the very end of the movie. That's when you can see they ran out of budget and they mm-hmm. they just do cheap looking shit. But this stuff with the gun guy is interesting. And then we're like, what is happening? Why is this happening now? Well, at the same time, after that guy has bought all the guns, we find the guy wisely brings home the cattail to the girlfriend and tells her all about it, and he has the cattail in the envelope. And just then the cat jumps in the house and they have a little bit of a quick fight again.
Oh yeah.
And the cat starts ripping open the envelope because it needs its tail.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a compromise. He's gonna burn the envelope because he's threatening his girlfriend. Like, he's around her neck, like he's gonna
it's
kill
like
her.
If he had like a, if the cat was holding like a little mini knife to her neck,
I would have
lost
time.
My shit. But he had his face like on her neck, like, yeah. You know, he was like about to bite. If he, you know, if Wisely like made like a bad move,
yes,
he was gonna bite her neck out. But it just felt like he just needed like a little mini knife and like hold it to her throat, because that's exactly what it looked like.
Yes.
And so he wanted his tail back. So then you see the girl and
the two people show up. The princess Elos or something like that. Something with an E.
Elos? No, it's not Elos.
Oh, something close. Doesn't matter. They show up and they tell the tale. Oh, we're aliens. We came to this planet because we were getting invaded by this other guy. He's this monster. His alien race is following us. Is trying to kill us, and we brought it here to kill it. And we mean no harm to humans, but the cat is like the knight, and we have to get these things to kill it. And the guy Wisely and his girlfriend just go, "Oh, that's great. Here's the tail," and they watch it get put on, and they're just all friends now, and everybody believes each other,
yeah.
And everybody's great. At the exact same time, the guy with the gun shows up. He scales the wall, comes in. We watch him load himself up with guns and bullets for about 10 minutes. He puts grenades on all over himself. He climbs up, and then we get him shooting the glass windows of this house and just books. But we don't see anything really getting messed up. We just see him shooting and hear glass break over and over, but nothing's happening. And finally, the guy decides wisely. He goes, "You know what? I'm going to throw some cocktails. I'm going to put fire, and I'm going to put it in these bottles that I have." And I'm just start chucking them at him. But he never throws them at him. He throws them in the pool and sets the whole pool on fire.
It was pretty cool.
But this guy walks through it, and the burn, I don't know how this guy just has some Vaseline on his hair and his face, but he walks through fire, this actor.
Yeah.
And he just keeps shooting and shooting. It gets so out of control that Wisely goes up to the roof, because the cat here does nothing. The princess does nothing. And Wisely goes up to the roof, and the guy goes, "You know, I'm going to follow him to the roof." And now the roof looks like an industrial building's roof. I have no idea what's going on. It looks like solar panels. I don't know what is going on. But Wisely just rips out all of the wire tubing. Do you think it would set off all the lights and everything? It would turn everything off? Nope, the lights are all fine. He just electrocutes this guy, and he gets hit in the face with the solar panel. He just keeps getting hurt, but he just keeps falling back down. He falls back down to the first floor. He's fine. We actually have to watch him put all of his bones back in. Like, he just starts clicking him like he's...
Well, yeah, because he's, like, technically a zombie.
I guess, yeah, it just looks so funny because it looks like he just woke up and he's doing his normal stretches.
I mean, at this point in the movie, I was just like, oh, my God, I can't do it anymore.
So they're on the roof, and they're like, how are we going to stop him?
And now the bodyguard, the old man bodyguard.
Errol. His name's Errol.
I was close. I said Elios. Yeah. You're like Errol.
Yeah.
This is the most bizarre thing. I mean, this whole movie is bizarre as hell. But he takes the alcohol and pours it all over himself and puts on what looks like a pilot mask or something on his head. And he just sets himself on fire and he nosedives at this guy.
Which they both go into the pool. And we see Errol, he's floating. He didn't make it.
No, he's just like he's shriveled.
Shriveled. But the bad guy.
Is fine.
Is fine. He gets out of the pool. He's got a little bit of skin flaps on his face.
Yeah.
But he's fine because he's a zombie.
Yeah.
And then he,
they all run off. They get in the car and they drive off. They drop the girlfriend off at the police station to get the cops while they go to another building that I have no idea why they're at this building.
Yeah, but how do we get rid of that one zombie guy?
They don't, because they go to that building. They run away from him and they get to this building and they go into what looks like a lunchroom where everybody's eating lunch.
Yeah, this is bizarre. I have no idea why they would choose this building.
I have no idea what's happening here, but all of a sudden, out of the air vents, the blob shoots out on all of the coworkers eating. And it looks amazing. There's like webbing. They're like in these crazy webs and they're all getting killed. And these two run away, but then the blob turns into that guy's face.
Yeah, I think this looks really cool.
But at some shots, it's like a mannequin head. And then some shots, it's him, and they keep showing a close-up of his face over and over. Yeah,
I think they did a good job considering, like, you know, it's low budget. I think they did a good job. But it's like, okay, the movie just said at this point, we need a higher body count. So let's just go into this random building thing and just kill all these poor workers that are just having lunch.
Yeah.
For no reason. No.
Yeah.
No reason.
This thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. It's eating all the people. It gets bigger. And they get up to the roof finally. And it's just her on a green screen screaming and being surrounded by the tentacle blob monster just changes 100 times. They can't figure out what form they want it to have. So at one point it's just multiple faces. Then all the faces come together to make his face. And then his face turns into a clay animation face. It's a giant clay animation head.
Yeah, it got cheesy.
And she says, oh, you know what? It's fine. The cat just has to kill it. And the cat just grabs the octagon and flies in its mouth and just, it explodes. And it turns into stardust.
And the girl says, oh, this is going to take me home. The stardust is going to take me back to my star. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
And that's exactly what happens. She just goes, okay, see you later. And the cat's fine. He's got some sparkles on him. And he just shakes them off. And they just fly up into the sky. See ya, bye. And he's like, okay, have a good one. Take care. And they fly up to the star.
I'm like, well, okay.
And he just walks downstairs. His girlfriend shows up with the cops. And he's like, she's like, where are they? Oh, they're back to their star. Oh.
So we really don't have proof of all these, you know, why all these people are dead, and we don't have proof of literally anything.
The guy's like, it was the cat.
Oh my God.
He was a good guy. It was aliens. We didn't even talk about the observatory when they look at the star for the first time and they're all just cool with it.
I mean, seriously, after all the stuff that they saw during the events of the last 2 days, you think that seeing a blinking star is going to be like something or other? No, they had to witness the craziest shit on planet Earth, okay? By three aliens.
She goes, you guys can decompose with us and you can fly off to the star with me. And the guy's like, yeah, let's go on a pleasure cruise. And then the girlfriend goes, no, no.
No, I don't want to decompose today. No, that's not romantic. I don't think romantic. I'm into this. Yeah, not into this. I hope you broke up with his ass after that.
I know.
Besides, his whole house is blown up. Anyway.
It looked like it was fine.
There's no place to go. No, I mean, honestly, this movie, I my mouth was on the floor the whole time. I just couldn't believe it. I have no words.
Yeah, I Oh my God, it's a wild ass thing we've watched. Like, I think the thing was that it didn't make a lick of sense whatsoever.
No.
It was funny as hell to watch the cat kicking people, and I really want a remake of this movie.
I would have liked it better if it was, in fact, witchcraft. No, it would have made some sense.
I would like. I love watching an alien night cat kick and fight people. I thought I could watch that all day because it was so humorous to me. But only like people like Hong Kong cinema could do something like this. But I would like to see someone. I wish someone like Peter Jackson had made this movie.
You know, my God.
It just been so much fun.
I'm going to draw the line. Peter Jackson.
What? Yeah, in his horror movie prime. His horror comedy prime in the Dead Alive days, Bad Taste days. This would have been hilarious.
If you say so.
Okay, I don't know. Dead Alive is a classic, and I just think that kind of stuff, like the cemetery fight with the priest, would have been perfect here.
But this movie, you can tell, took notes from several different movies. You know, there is obviously The Blob, you know.
Yeah, they definitely were taking the effect. What year did The Blob remake come out?
85.
Okay, yeah, they definitely saw that.
Yeah, they saw that. And then, you know, I guess Aliens.
I don't know about that. There was nothing like that.
Let's see. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
I don't know about that either. I think this definitely feels Ricky O-esque. Without the fun, especially the fun gore. But I do feel Blob all over this movie.
It is blobby. I mean, not that I'm complaining, but The Blob was, it's one of my favorite remakes. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
If someone's going to do, try to take special effects from something, that's a good one to take special effects from.
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, for sure. But I'm thinking, like, if this is a movie we started with for Cat Month, we can only go up, right?
Oh, I doubt it. I just wanted, when I saw there was a famous cat-dog fight in a movie, I was like, well, I gotta find this movie.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is probably the only movie this month that the cat is going to be a good guy.
That's true. Okay. That is definitely true.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we have that going for us. Because I'm sure the rest of the month I'm going to be like, this motherfucking cat. Freaking demons.
Well, I loved it because one of the first things you said when you saw this cat, you went, that's a beautiful cat.
It was a beautiful cat.
Because I was shocked to hear you say that. I was like, oh my God, she's complimenting a cat.
There are some cats.
We're making breakthroughs.
No, we're not.
On the podcast.
No, I've said it before. I like the long-haired cats. I don't like, you know, I don't know. And they have to be a special kind of cat. But I still don't like them. I don't like their personalities. I think...
So you don't want a guardian cat that'll kick a dog's ass?
No. No, I don't.
I do.
I don't want a guardian cat. I want a guardian dog. A dog is better than a cat.
Yeah, but seeing a cat do kung fu and grabbing and body slamming a dog made me laugh my ass off.
I mean, it was a really good fight scene. It was really good.
The cat flies multiple times in this, too. It just flies into somebody.
Oh, this was like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, absolutely.
This thing, I mean, they glided across the wind like nothing.
I'm going to put I can't put clips from the movie into the episode today, but I will be putting so many scenes of this movie up online.
Yeah, this fight scene.
Instagram will have so many of these videos. I'm just going to have to think of each one as a meme because there's so many moments in this movie. I was like, well, what?
Well, what are you going to give this movie?
This is nuts that this movie has a 6.
It is.
It's crazy. Ridiculous. I don't understand that. I definitely would give this like a 3.
I'll give it a 3 too, but I really don't. I don't think it deserves a 3. The plot was so convoluted and ridiculous. The plot was so stupid and nonsensical. It really was. But I guess I'll give it a 3.
I'm close to giving it a 4 because it was so silly fun. I laughed a lot. I was like, what the fuck are we watching?
Because it was just so bonkers.
That's kind of so bad it's good to me. So maybe I should give it a 4. But it is a
a mess.
It's a mess.
A mess.
It's a mess. Yeah, I'm going to stick with my three. But I did find a random review I'm going to read. This is my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I'll read out some online reviews on IMDb as proof that people can't review movies and they ruin it for everybody. All right, so this is a 10 out of 10 that I found. Best fight scene of all time. This movie has one of the best plots I've ever witnessed, especially since it's low budget. Incredible character development, despite not knowing anyone's name besides Mr. Wang. The peak of the movie is during the fight scene between the dog and the cat, which puts shame to any Marvel movie ever made. Mm. The plot is extremely unpredictable, which keeps you at the edge of your seat throughout the entire movie. The whole movie is just incredible. A must-see for all movie buffs. Special effects are insane for 1991. Just a phenomenal movie. I wish the director made more films, honestly. Just pure brilliance in a VHS. Loved it.
I have nothing to say about that.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have something to say about this. 2 out of 10. If the cat didn't know Kung Fu, it would have been a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what to say about this one. I'd advise you keep walking if you see this in the dollar bin at Walmart. For those that are fans of Ricky O, you won't find the same humor and ultra-violence here. I understand that Wisely is a popular character that has been in other movies. Watching this cat doesn't inspire confidence. I will say the fight between the cat and the dog was mildly amusing. I can only imagine what it was like on set when they were doing that scene. Must have been a load of fun. I am all for B-rated classics, but this one was just too slow and incoherent. I think the movie was around an hour and a half, and it couldn't end soon enough for me. I agree with that. It couldn't end soon enough because I was so baffled. I was like, if they throw one more thing at me, I can't. It's so convoluted and just next level outrageous. I was like, I can't take one more new thing thrown at me. So thank God they just kept the insanity on the level. That's the way I feel.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he gave it a lower score than I would, but I do agree that the fight scene with the cat and dog was the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, without a doubt. I will say that there was some great, the blob stuff killing people was fun. The shootout stuff was fun. The watching them do the burn stunts, insane. Yeah. There's stuff like that that I love. And the oddity of stuff like the girl dripping sweat.
It's was just so odd.
So odd that I kind of loved it. And I think that's why I was like, this movie is just so oddly funny. That's unique. I will go with the other guy and say it's unique and it's different and you never know what's going to happen next. Without a doubt. I will admit, though, the last half of this movie, I would say the last hour, because that 30 minutes when we paused it, we were like, holy crap, it's only been 30 minutes? It's already been 30 minutes. Like, because we thought it was only like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's how much fun we were having the first 30 minutes. We're like, what the hell? I will say the last 40 minutes felt like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it really did.
It was like, oh my God, it feels like that time is slowing down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that without a doubt. But yeah, I do find stuff like this amusing. So I will say that I'm glad I watched it. But I'm a little mad that you didn't read the review that said tough pussy.
Okay, I was looking at that. That is one. Yeah, that is one.
Someone wrote tough pussy. That's all I saw. 7 out of 10.
I read that review. It's not worth reading.
I just thought that the blurbs were funny. I think there's only like 4 reviews, right?
No, there's a couple.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just laughed so hard. That's the kind of stuff that makes me laugh. I'm like, okay. I would love to see any other director try to mimic a fight like this, but you can never have a movie. There can never, ever be another movie like this. When I was watching this movie, I was like, they couldn't do anything like this ever again.
No.
They could never do this. And the fact that they even tried, I will say that this made me laugh and it made me think of like the Naked Gun. And I was thinking how funny... It's like, I love these movies. Like the Zucker brothers used to take these old movies and turn them into their parodies. And they were like making fun of things that we kind of grew up with, but a lot of people might not know. And I watch movies like this and I go, oh my God, I wish the Zucker brothers had seen this at one point in their lives so they could have replicated the oddity that is this movie. You know, what's the director? I can never remember his name. He directed like Patch Adams and stuff, but he did that Kung Fu into the, what was it? Kung Fury. Yeah. Where that guy, he kind of did that movie and he kind of parodied all the Kung Fu movies, but he put himself in other movies. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, if only these people had seen something like this, they would have been a cat dog replicated fight. You know what I mean? It would have just been so much better.
This one was really difficult to talk about though. I mean, probably just because the subtitles and just the convoluted nature and subject matter of this whole thing, I think they made it too convoluted. It could have been a lot of fun if they just simplified it a little bit. That's just me.
Yeah, no. I absolutely. Just watching this movie, I knew there's no way these subtitles are correct.
No, there's no way. It doesn't make any sense. It's incoherent
none
babble.
None of it made sense.
Yeah. So, all right. I mean, do we have any more foreign films on our list?
No. No, I'm gonna step away. We do have one, but I think it's dubbed Italian film. So.
Well, you know how I feel about my Italian directors.
Yep. So we'll be doing one of those.
Okay. Good.
All right. Yeah. So this is our first oddity of the month.
Yeah. Hot mess.
It basically just us rambling on about the plot.
Because we couldn't talk about it.
Figure it out. Yeah. I still don't 100% understand what was happening in this movie. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Yeah,
personally, I don't think I'm ever going to forget this movie.
I won't forget this movie.
Yeah.
No, not this one.
I'll always go, what was that thing we watched? The cat was punching people.
The cat.
The cat.
The cat.
All right. I know no one's ever seen this movie. If 800 people have seen it, apparently. So I would love to hear anybody's thoughts, though. If you ever have a movie that you've seen that's this crazy, this weird, and you think that we would get a kick out of watching it, tell us in the comments anywhere. We're on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night, and Joe is at The Crafty Misfit on Instagram. And we would love to hear your thoughts, movies, suggestions that are like this. I would love to hear it. I would also love to hear themes for a month of movies to pick from. I would love to hear that too. So thanks for listening. As always, have a good one. Bye.
The Octagon has received signal from the star. The radiation from the star melts us into the stellar system to decompose our bodies. By following the signal, we can get back to the star. Splendid! The general's body has been radiated. He's now the strongest knight in the universal.
Does it mean that if our bodies were decomposed, we could likewise go to your star? Splendid. Let's go to your star on a pleasure tour.